Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Coming up on Nothing Major, we are back up and running and on time on this Friday. We apologize for the delay in Monday's episode. Nothing we could do about that. I think Sam is right. I think some rival podcasts were trying to take us down.
I still think it was the suits. I still think it was Nothing Major suits.
Could be the suits at Nothing Major.
Sabotaging the internet.
So we apologize. We're going to talk a little bit more Basel and Vienna, especially with Stevie on the pod today. We have a great little segment, a new one. And it's what cars do we think WTA players drive? We each have a handful of players, like really good kind of superstar players. And we're going to guess what cars we think they drive. And finally, we're going to end the episode with an interview with David Rodelitz from New York City, which is a really, really good and interesting one. Let's all head on the show. Let's get into it. All right, welcome back. Nothing Major. John Isner here with Stevie Johnson. Cal Ripken is back. Missed a game. Sam Querrey's here. Jack Sock is not with us today. Pickleball related again?
Yeah.
I'm assuming. Yep.
I also have a pickleball tournament today, but you know what? I'm here.
Sam Querrey, I wasn't going to mention it. Sam Querrey has a pickleball tournament in Las Vegas that he's catching you got a flight in like a couple hours, right?
Yeah, yeah.
How are you feeling about your game?
It's not probably not where I want it to be, but I think I can extended warm up. I should find it pretty quickly today. Okay.
You've been practicing hard? You've been training?
Just move on. Just move on.
Okay. I'll move on. All right. We still got Basel and Vienna going on, guys. We're kind of deep into the tournament. Stevie, because you were not here on Monday, we spoke a little bit about our experiences there and what we preferred. It turns out Jack had never one time. Ford Querrey.
No.
That's Owen.
I apologize.
No. Owen.
I'm so sorry, Sam. Owen James Querrey has made the episode in his pumpkin shirt. Very spooky. Stevie, Basel or Vienna? Have you played both? Did you ever play Basel?
Played both and one significantly better for me.
Okay, Vienna. I know you made a final there.
And you had match points, did you not?
No, I was not that you remember these types of things, but I was playing Ferrer in the final. He's serving 15-30, second serve. I run around a forehand, absolutely nuke one, miss it by a couple inches. Still think you're like in a good position in the match, in the final. And then I think I proceeded after that 15-30 points. I lost that point. I lost the next 10 points relatively quickly. He Ferrer'd me in the last 2 minutes, broke me at love, held at love, and I almost shattered the trophy at the end, quite frankly.
Was that on accident. The third set?
Yeah, about 7-5 in the third. But I got somebody – I'm a bit jumpy as an individual sometimes. Like, I don't like to be startled. And in the final ceremony, like, you know, a lot of times they'll like shoot confetti or something like that. I think it was my first final, so I was like just still a little nervous. I'm like holding the trophy. Ferrer like lifts the trophy up, right? And just this giant bang goes off in the stadium, right? All this confetti comes down. And I like, you know, I'm visibly like, oh, like throw the, like I kind of jump and almost throw the trophy on the ground. I thought something was going on. I was a little scared.
Did it fall?
No, I held on to it luckily, but I was like, it was bad. I like almost like dropped. I was like, that's a bad look. But
you could have been like one of those people that dropped the Super Bowl trophy or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
But like nobody was looking at me at that point, so it didn't really matter because, you know, Ferrer, I think that was his fourth 500 title on the year. I mean, he was insane. But yeah, Vienna was, I enjoyed that. The tournament, the city, exponentially better than Basel. Just more to do.
Yeah, for sure. Vienna is awesome. What were y'all's favorite things to do in Vienna outside of the tournament?
It's, I don't know why, like, downtown Vienna is like so pretty. Like the walking area. Yeah. I mean, that's what I like to do. Just like leave that area and walk around Vienna. One other thing I got to do without giving too much detail, because I had a friend whose brother was the ambassador to Vienna for a few years. So we got to go to the ambassador residence one time, Abby and I, and like check it out and mill around. That was so cool. But I never had like a, did you ever have like a go-to restaurant in Vienna or anything? Are you, Stevie? I never did, but like you just walk around and it's just like one of the most beautiful cities, and like pop in anywhere and get some schnitzel. Schnitzel is kind of the same wherever you went.
I feel like it was, I feel like it hit better in Vienna.
Oh, for sure.
Within Vienna, the schnitzel was always.
Sorry. That's right. Yeah. But there was a lot of different, not a go-to restaurant. All the restaurants were good.
Yeah, but Sam's right. I mean, for us, like California guys, like when you go to those fall tournaments like Vienna, it's nice. Like you kind of go outside, you throw on like the second jacket. Best. You know, it's crisp. Best. It's fall. As long as it's not raining, like sometimes the weather can obviously be less than stellar, but it was always nice to like walk around just for like a couple hours, like later in the day, and have a dinner, cruise around that downtown by the Opera House. I mean, I love the city, like just had more going on, but it was, and the tournament itself was awesome, you know, minus getting stuck in the elevator a couple times going down to the locker room. You guys remember that?
Yeah, those things were slow. Yeah.
I got stuck in there twice. I started like taking the service stairs. I got a little scared.
You guys remember my double story with Demoliner?
This is a phenomenal
bring it up,
one.
Sam, this is a
what
good
year
one.
Was that? Did you guys make finals?
2017,
because
the whole thing happened
at Labor Cup.
Because
it was the first year of Labor Cup. Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
We used to play this game, and the guys still play it. What are the odds? So John hypothetically would look at me and be like, "What are the odds you go throw a pie in Stevie's face?" I'd say 1 in 20, and then John would count down and say 3, 2, 1, and then simultaneously we would give a number between 1 and 20, and if our numbers were the same, then you had to do that like act that was given to you as a challenge, basically. So it'd be like 3, 2, 1, 17. And if we both said it, you got to do the act. So Kyrgios played this game nonstop.
Loved it.
50 times a day. So we're in the bus ride and he's like, what are the odds that you basically direct message a doubles specialist to play doubles in Vienna? And I was like, 1 in 50. And sure enough, on the bus, it was like 3, 2, 1, 34. And we hit. And so then, it was comment on a doubles player's Instagram. That's what it was. Sorry.
Hit.
Somehow it got to Marcelo Demoliner, who's the nicest guy, by the way, doing like a volley video. And I gave like a clap hands emoji on the comments. I was like, sick volleys. Within like 2 minutes, I get a direct message. He's like, doubles in Vienna? And I felt bad. I was like, okay, sure. And so then we're playing doubles in Vienna. You know, this is like 3 weeks later. I don't think I'd ever met him before. No, we knew who each other were.
Yeah. No, you had knew you hadn't. You were ranked high.
They was having a great. I was like 15 in the world.
Yeah.
So sure enough, next thing you know, we're signed up for doubles in Vienna, and we make the final. We take out the Bryan brothers, someone else, and in the
what
final,
a win, by the way,
that's unbelievable.
Yeah, what a win.
You guys had a good look in the finals.
Yes. Third set tiebreaker against Bopan and someone. I'm serving, you know, five. I think we had match point. We had match
on
point
your
at
serve.
The time. And at the time, Demoliner had never won a tour event. And right. I got really tight. One of the tightest moments I got in my life because, like, I wanted it for him.
I feel like you were serving at, like, 9-8, right?
I threw in a second serve at, like, 58 miles an hour, but Pond just smoked a backhand winner. And we ended up losing, but it was a funny story. But making a final of a 500.
It's a lifelong friendship you made.
Out of nowhere. And, yeah, Demoliner and I are, like, we're like this now.
Have you seen his Instagram, Demoliner? He's, like, a influencer.
Yeah.
Kind of. He makes these, like, really cool videos. Anyways, super cool guy. It's a great story. I forgot that you beat the Bryan brothers.
Yep.
You and I, Sam, 0-15 in our lifetimes against him.
Yep.
You and Demoliner, 1-0.
Yeah. Doesn't seem right.
It doesn't not seem right, but he's got good volleys. He's a doubles guy. He knows what he's doing up there. Stevie, I saw what you typed in. Do you really want to talk about that? I feel like we talked about that last year. I'm happy to do it again.
It's one of the worst things I've ever seen someone have to do at a tournament is what John Isner had to do in Vienna in 2000. I think it's the year I made the final in 2015.
It might have been.
Because you lost first round.
I lost first round. I had a little bit of some sort of appearance fee there. And part of my deal was on Wednesday or Thursday night, if I was still in the tournament, they pretty much guaranteed me that like I wasn't going to be playing like then because they wanted me to do a serving exhibition after the first night match. So I had to show up on site. You were playing second night match, right, Stevie?
Yep.
Because I had to show up on site, did not want to do it, out of the tournament, completely done. Singles and doubles, I think I was out. And I had to show up and wait for Monfils to finish his first match. Of course, it goes like 7-6 in the third, 3 hours. I'm sitting there with Stevie, and I'm like, I have to go do this serving exhibition in front of like 10,000 fans. I'm out of the tournament. It feels like this felt like such a loser. Stevie has a great picture from that moment. I'm just sitting there at the table because Stevie's getting ready for his match. And I'm just sitting there talking to him. The worst tan going on. Everyone's so pasty this time of year. I just looked horrible, right? I mean, how everyone's so
it
pasty.
Was bad. You are so frozen.
There's nothing worse than doing a tournament activity after you're out of the tournament. Just nothing worse.
This is one where I had to like, you know, like limber up and bring my stuff and like serve 20 minutes. They wanted the bot out there to serve. It's the only thing I can do. So I kind of get it. The crowd hated it. It wasn't fun. and I got out of there and said bye to Stevie. And Stevie clearly won his match because I think that is the year he won, made it to the finals. But we're a pro Vienna pod. It's nothing against
pro
Basel.
Pod. Yeah, yeah. We are pro Vienna pod.
It's just a little bit nicer, we think. Both cities are amazing. Europe in the fall, my favorite time of the year. I enjoyed it more than playing the clay court stuff.
Oh, for sure.
Springtime in May. Absolutely. It's actually one of the, I don't know about you guys, I really miss this time of year on the tour. Stevie, Sam, you're a little indifferent.
I'm indifferent. Take it or leave it. I didn't like it or love it more than other moments.
Yeah, I didn't do that well sometimes at the end of the season, but I enjoyed like going out to the dinners right in the fall, like in Bercy, that little village. It's not there anymore, but Vienna, it was a good time of year.
Great time of year. The best. Not freezing. I mean, cold. You definitely would need a jacket, but not to the point where you got to put on the gloves and always have a beanie.
Put on the isotoners.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, again, pro Vienna pod. We will break down these tournaments on Monday once they complete the whole tournament. We have a lot of Americans that have played these tournaments, especially in Basel this year. So we will go over that. And Sam, you want to do this next segment right now?
All right. Next segment.
So just a quick segue.
Quick segue.
Sam, why don't you explain this one?
This one, each guy here has a handful of WTA superstars, and we're going to decide what cars we think they drive. These are the cars we think these players would drive. The players have been divided up randomly by me and divvied out to the group. And so let's start. These are the cars we think. It's kind of like the ATP jobs we think the players would have if they weren't tennis players. This is kind of that. Cars we think WTA players would drive. Let's start with John Isner. Start with Paula
Badosa. I have three. They are Iga Swiatek, Jessica Pegula, and Paula Badosa.
Yeah. Okay. Good call. And Stevie has Sabalenka, Paolini, and Iva Jovic. And I have Rybakina, Emma Raducanu, and Yelena Ostapenko. Paula Badosa, John Isner, what car does she drive?
So I know I'm not right about this, but I think like a blacked out Dodge Charger.
Oh, that's so accurate.
God, that's a good one.
She's in Monte Carlo, so something fast, but I could picture her like if she was in the States playing a tournament, like renting a car like that. So I think she would be pretty badass in like a Dodge Charger, completely blacked out everything, like black wheels, tinted windows.
Yep.
Goes really fast, loud, like an engine that purrs, you know? She's got swag.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can see her ripping around Mason Montgomery with that.
See this video of she was dancing with Sabalenka or something? She's like got moves and swag. So, Badosa, you drive a like souped up Dodge Charger.
Very good. Very good. Stevie, who do you want to start with?
I'll start with Sabalenka.
All right. Sabalenka, Paula Badosa's friend. What is she driving?
Yes. I can picture her kind of in the same vein as John. A lot of swag. I'm picking like a, you know, the top of the line, like a Ford Raptor, souped up, lifted truck, just ripping around.
Yeah.
Like, right? Like you could just see her just in the top end, just a high end Ford Raptor, massive engine, just flying like through the streets of Miami. I could just picture that.
Her and Badosa together, they're just like Fast and Furious.
Like I could just see them racing down the streets during the Miami Open for sure.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'll start with, Elena Rybakina. I'm going to give her like a BMW 3 Series. You just like, I don't know what I'm getting with her. Like she's pretty quiet, but like,
okay.
has a little bit of flash from Kazakhstan, right?
Yes.
Kazakhstan.
Plays for Kazakhstan.
Yeah, plays for Kazakhstan. But like, doesn't want something overly like in your face. So just she's going to go lease like a BMW 325 and roll up to the tournament, and no one's going to like look twice.
But it's nice though. But it's still very nice.
But it's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
All right. Okay.
Give us your number two.
I have a Pegula. Like, I feel like we probably should know what she does drive. We're super close with her, but I don't know. Do you guys?
Don't.
No.
That's a good – I don't know.
So Jesse seems like just a point A to point B girl for me. And I think she just has like a Jeep Cherokee. Just a nice solid car. Just going to get her to and fro practice, like to the grocery store and back. Not flashy. She's understated in a very elegant way. She doesn't need to show off how successful she's been. So I think she's in a Jeep Cherokee, and a nice one.
Yeah, that's...
I would have gone more of like the Sprinter, so she could put all the dogs in there. Something bigger.
You could put Jeep, but she doesn't have 12 dogs.
Jeep Cherokee's got plenty of room.
Yeah, I got plenty of... A Sprinter van? What is she? Does she have her own like kennel operation at home?
Like, no, I'm just saying like lay it down in the back. It's just like a dog palace back there.
I think she has two dogs. She didn't have 35 dogs. Stevie, go for it. Give us your number two.
Jasmine Paolini. And I just assume she's just cruising around the streets of Italy on a Vespa. A couple rackets out of the backpack. Just ripping around the streets in like a, not a motorcycle, but not a scooter, you know, somewhere in between.
Risky. Did she have maybe like a Fiat at home as well?
I would say the backup car, if it rains, is the Fiat. You know, something small, compact. But I could see her just kind of cruising around the streets in a nice Vespa, get into practice.
I like that one. I'll go with Yelena Ostapenko. She is going to go to the used car dealership and absolutely grind the guy down on a good price on a Porsche Cayenne with 275,000 miles on it. And just get a smoking deal and be grinding around in that thing. 275,000 miles, going to break down all the time. But you know she just got a great deal at the used car lot from the guy.
In Latvia.
Latvia used car lot. Porsche Cayenne, 275,000 miles on that sucker.
That's really good. Okay. I am on to my third and last one is Iga Swiatek. Total stud. This one is tough. This is why I wanted to do it last. It's tough. I'm going. You said Porsche, right, Sam? For Ostapenko.
Yeah, used though. The used SUV.
Okay. I'm gonna go with a Tesla. Yeah. I feel like she's kind of the cutting edge of technology. Not that, I mean, she has the self-driving feature. She doesn't use it. I can see her in a Tesla, like kind of a bit robotic. So
yeah, I could see that as well. Just putting on autopilot mode and just going.
Yeah, but I know I'm not saying she's gonna use the self-driving feature, but like, you know, I think she likes all the tech in the Tesla, and I think she would really enjoy that.
Stevie, give us your third. Your third one was Iva Jovic.
Young, you know, talented. Still getting her foot on the WTA Tour, even though she's in the top 50. She's going to take after one of my pod co-hosts here and go with brand new Jetta.
You know I didn't have a Jetta.
Sam had a Jetta back in the day.
I did not. You always do this. I didn't have a Jetta.
I didn't. Hey, you did this. You did this, not me.
Yes.
Like a Volkswagen Jetta. Just cruising around the streets of Southern Cal. Just like Sam Querrey back in the day. She's just 3 feet shorter. And fits a lot better in it.
That is like every like 17-year-old girl has the...
Dude, you come around Southern California, it's just everyone is riding in one of them.
Right. Even though Iva Jovic clocked in like about $1 million in prize money this year, Jetta.
Do we know that she has her driver's license?
That's still up for debate, correct? Okay. I don't know that. I mean, she's old enough to have it. Yes. She's old enough to have it. But it's practical. She'll get there at some point. She'll get to the flashy Ferrari in like 3 years. But for right now, she's going with just a nice economical Jetta.
All right. I have Emma Raducanu. This is a Range Rover. She's classy.
Yeah.
She's elegant.
That's
always
great, call, Sam.
Like she's rolling around London in like the new Range. And while she's in the Range, she's got a, She's always dressed well. Just the hair's looking good. Like Raducanu, Range Rover all day. Nothing else. That one couldn't be easier.
Yeah. With like one of those weird license plates on the back.
Like very long ones.
Oh, the yellow ones?
Yeah, but like they're like very long and like massive letters.
Yeah, yeah. Not a vanity plate, but just the long.
Not a vanity plate. Yeah, just.
Yeah, just classy. Jack's three stars were Coco Gauff, Mira Andreeva, and Madison Keys. Any off the top of our head, because Jack's not here, ideas that they would drive? I think Madison Keys drives a Volvo, by the way. I actually think she has a Volvo sponsorship.
I think she does drive a Volvo. She might have had a deal with them at some point, if I'm not mistaken. Or
Mira Andreeva, Volkswagen bug, right? She got that bubbly personality. Windows down.
Fair enough.
She got the little flower. Got the little flower, the flower on the vase.
On the,
yep, did they have the eyelashes over the headlights?
Yeah, yeah. You know, she's listening to like Dua Lipa on her way to practice. Like that's 100% what Andreeva's driving.
What color? That's
so good.
A bright color, like a yellow that pops, or a red or something like that. Have you guys ever driven in Europe?
No.
Yes, Mallorca. Doesn't really count. It's an island.
Why not?
Oh, well, you know, still
Europe. Yeah,
it's not
true,
like,
true.
You know what I'm saying? I had a rental car. Rafa gave me a car in Mallorca. We were there for a week. It was very nice of him.
Oh, ho-hum. Sorry.
Easy to drive around there, but could you imagine driving around in like Rome?
That sounds so bad. That sounds so stressful.
Awful.
Would you guys rather do that, like drive around like the circles of Rome and just be panicking, or like in England on the other side of the road?
I'd rather drive around in Rome than the UK, though.
Yeah, okay. Me as well. Like, dude, I'd have so much panic driving in the UK, like on the wrong side of the road for us.
Yeah.
My anxiety levels will be through the roof.
Anyways, that's it. I think that was good, guys.
That was good. That was good.
That was a really good segment. Ladies, if you see this segment, chime in on what you actually drive.
Yeah.
See how wrong we were.
We were probably like an 80% hit rate on that.
Yeah, I really like my Bedosa one with the Dodge Charger. That was my favorite one. Stevie, of your choices.
Yeah, Sabalenka, I just really picture her like getting up into like the high Raptor, just absolutely flooring it.
Mine was Ostapenko. I just know she's battling with the car salesman.
Yeah.
You know, and that, just getting a good deal on a 2012 Porsche Cayenne with 275,000 miles on it.
Beautiful. That's so good.
All right, guys. We have a new little segment here. Another Sam Querrey brainchild of people we wish we were friends with while on tour. We filmed this, I believe, last week, but then we got lucky with a Valentin Vachereau interview, so we had to push it to this week. So we hope you guys enjoy. Let's get into it.
All right, let's do one more segment here. This is the best friend segment.
Yeah, this one we've been looking forward to.
These are players that we wish we were friends with when we played, but we weren't really friends. We were kind of friends with everyone. You'd say hi, you'd practice, but these are guys like you wish you had a real friendship with, like, oh, you were maybe going out to dinner with them outside the courts, but you weren't. John, you're very excited about this. Give us a guy you wish you were better friends with, but that you weren't really great friends with. And don't say Roger.
No, Roger's, of course not.
All right,
of course
not. Obviously, we all want to be friends with Roger.
I mean, I have a couple, so I'll name one.
Carlos,
right now.
You know?
Benoit Paire.
Yeah. Benoit Paire.
Yeah, Benoit. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, John, 100%.
Like, you would have been too nervous to see if, like...
No, like, you know, like, obviously very friendly with him. Like, super cordial with him. Always had great rapport at the tournaments when I'd see him, you know, in the locker room and whatnot. But, you know, never really hung out with him outside of a tournament. Would like to go to dinner with him. He'd wearing a scarf, you know, all year round. It'd be fun.
That'd be true. I would be a little jealous if I was at Toronto and I walked by a restaurant. I was like, Isner was eating with Benoit.
Yes.
Exactly. Good. That's a good one. That's a good one. Jack, player you wish
like,
you were?
I feel like I've like hung out with some of these names that are going to be said. Like I've played FIFA many times outside of the events with like Benoit. Very fun. Very entertaining. I was going to go with Safin just to kind of experience what the Safin life was like. I mean, obviously, we've all heard stories and everything. I don't know if I would want to be like super involved in some of those, but just to hear what he says and like the way he goes about is.
Did you overlap with him at all on the tour?
No. Yeah. I would say like a dinner or something would be fun. Whatever happens after dinner, I'd probably, remove myself from, but yeah, dinner would be like a dinner or something just to hear stories would be funny.
That'd be Stevie.
Yeah. I think,
I'm going to go the South American route here. And John's got pretty, I think John's pretty friendly with him, is Pico Monaco, Monaco.
Yeah. Juan Monaco.
I think he would be so much fun to like go out with, have dinner with, like just high energy, like always has a good time. Like, I don't know, John could probably speak to this more. Actually, I think John has actually probably gone to dinner with him. Like outside of tournaments,
you've gone to
like
dinner with Monaco.
I've gone to dinner. I've hung out with Pico like plenty of times. Like I've converted. He's a massive Carolina Panthers fan because of me. Like he needed an NFL team. Knew I like football, you know. So he's like, he texted me yesterday. He goes, "Panteras, amigo." Because they, you know, the other day he texted me. So I would have said Pico, but much like Jack with Benoit, like I know him really well. I text with him a lot. Great guy. Stevie, you're missing out on some Pico hang time.
No, I know, because like you know at the tournaments, like you say hi to him, you see him in the locker room, it's a lot of fun. But then, you know, like I feel like there's just more to that where you can get into it in a nice dinner out. You know,
go back to 2016. Had Stevie approached Juan Monaco at Indian Wells, be like, "Hey, you guys, your crew want to go with my crew to dinner? What does Juan Monaco say?"
He says yes.
Oh,
I think he's just, he was a great guy.
Yeah.
He's such a positive person.
Yeah. Like,
he's
like, that's true.
Imagine being out in Buenos Aires in like 2014 with Juan Monaco.
Oh, he's dude, so good.
How unreal
it is. He's so good.
That'd be so good. Oh, man. Oh,
great.
All right. One of mine, I'm back on the French train, I guess, with Isner, Sanga. Like,
yeah.
Just so cool. Again, like friendly. John and I saw him in Roland Garros this year, but always a high, but like, I don't know. It just, cool guy. Would have loved to strengthen the friendship a little more. Which I guess at this point it won't happen, but you know,
super
never say
sweetheart
never.
Of a guy too.
Yeah.
The nicest guy. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a good guy.
It like just seems like the best. What current guy? You got any current guys? All right, give us your current guy.
Okay, I'm going South American. This is out of left field for all you guys. Tomas Echeverry.
Interesting.
He's smooth.
Have you ever said hi to him?
He's super smooth. I don't know. He should have made the Hawkeye draw, by the way. Super smooth.
Yeah.
In my mind. So that's my answer. Echeverry.
Echeverry.
He's got it.
He's got Echeverry. The it factor. Maybe he listens to the pod and like.
Maybe.
You
maybe.
Guys will spark a friendship somehow.
Just get him on, you know? We'll just slide in the DMs and see.
Jack, Stevie, you guys have a current guy that you wish you were friends with that maybe you're not?
I have an obvious one with Alcaraz, but like solely because of his golf era now, just to like, I'd want to just go golf with him. Like, I don't like dinners, whatever be fun, but I'd like to be at like a tournament and just go golf. Cause he's also addicted to it.
Yeah. I feel like I'm getting like kind of close with Alcaraz based on like all the time spent on the desk. Like I'm not that far off from getting an invite out to dinner with the Alcaraz crew.
Do you think he'll invite you to Ibiza?
not an invite on a vacation, but just like a dinner, maybe.
I mean, let's start with a players dining sit down.
Query and Carlos players and Ibiza. Just
let's start there. Players
it's not
dining
crazy,
sit
guys.
Down.
All right, you know what? 2026 goals: have one dinner with Carlos Alcaraz. That's my new goal.
Outside of a tennis venue.
No, I feel like on site counts. Maybe lunch or dinner. Like.
Okay. All right.
No, outside of it. I mean, outside of it. Yeah.
You know, right. He might invite you to golf one time.
Totally. I shot a 73 the other day. Maybe he's heard about that. We don't know.
Yeah.
Stevie, you got a current?
Yeah. I mean, I was going to go the same route, kind of, but I know that's kind of cheating because you pick Alcaraz, but this is kind of a weird one, but I was like slightly jealous of all those years at the French Open or just anywhere. I really wanted to learn that stupid Spanish game that all those guys play and just sit at that table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's it called? It's like pétanque or picante.
Pétanque is the bocce ball. That's.
Oh, you're right. That's right. That's the one that they play out by the annex.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, whatever that game is, you guys we've all seen it. That little board game that Rafa played for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
I'd like to sit at that table. I have no idea what they're doing. I have no idea how to play, but I think that would be a fun hang for a few hours.
That is a good one.
But ultimately, I'd like to play golf with Carlos.
So Stevie's answer is a board game?
Yeah, I
just
get
think
that
it's
either.
Like a fun hang with those guys. And then you get there. Hold on. His answer is
pétanque.
You get there, and then you go out. You got to start somewhere. You can't just go out with these guys. You got to start somewhere. You got to build the friendship from the ground floor.
Which guys? You've given a board
you
game.
You just said.
Yeah, say with the French guy, or the Spanish guys like Rafa.
Throw Mark Lopez in there.
So you're just taking all Spanish guys?
Yeah, because they all play.
Okay.
Like, all right. You know, it's Rafa, it's Ferrer.
Okay.
And it's Parcheesi.
Uncle Tony.
That's what it is.
Oh, that's funny. All right, give me Cobali, new guy, too. Cobali seems smooth. Cool. Like
Yeah.
I'd love to be friends, I guess, and maybe dinner outside the courts with the teams. I don't have a team now, but I guess you guys are kind of the team.
Take the SIFT suits with you.
Yeah. The suits at SIFT. they can roll with. Oh, it is awkward though. Like when you're playing, like, there was like times I remember was like, oh man, I'd love to. I was always a little jealous. Like Stevie and Casper Ruud, you guys are friends. You golf. I've always been a little jealous of that. Like I want to hang with Casper. You know,
Casper's a fun hang. That's what should pick him. You should pick him in your hypothetical game here.
Well, I didn't want to like step on your toes, you know?
No. Hey, look, I stepped on Will Blumberg's toes and now, you know, you can step on mine. It's fine.
We got anyone else come to mind of guys we...
Medvedev.
Medvedev, honorable mention?
Yeah, honorable mention Medvedev.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
I'm such a Medvedev fan myself. All right, who knows? Maybe all the players we mentioned listen to the pod and they'll reach out and be like, hey, I always wanted to be your friend too. You know?
Maybe.
Who knows?
I say highly unlikely, but look, you never say never.
All right, everyone. We have time. Sam and I were very fortunate to sit down and chat with David Roddle. It's the king of hospitality. Incredible host to us at the U.S. Open, hosted Taste of Tennis, many other things, has an incredible array of restaurants. So this is a fun interview, a little bit on the different side of the tennis aspect around the U.S. Open. So let's get into it.
All right, everyone, on the pod today, this is very exciting. We don't have a tennis player. We have something even better. I'm very excited for this interview. We have David Rodolitz on. And so for those of you who don't know, I don't know if anyone knows who you are who listens to our pod, but they will after this. I'm pumped. You're the founder and CEO of the VCR Group. So what that is for our listeners that don't know what that is, I guess. It's a group of restaurants, correct me if I'm wrong, you've got the Fly Fish Club, Ito Amakase, Little Maven, Chop House, amazing restaurants, clubs, sushi restaurants in New York. You created it. And so during the U.S. Open, you're swarmed with your hosting events. You've got players there. So, David, thank you, first of all, for joining. I want to start with this. Like, why tennis? Can you give people a little background on, like, did you play tennis growing up? Why do you like tennis? Why, you know, you're at the U.S. Open? A little background on your tennis, if you
got it.
Don't mind.
Guys, I love the pod, so I'm excited to be here. I love all things tennis. Love the work that you guys are doing. And it was fun to spend some time together in New York a few weeks back. So, yeah, no, I'm pumped to be here. And I would say a few more people know who I am than you're making out to be, Sam. So, but we can have fun with that. Yeah, so no, I grew up as a junior player. I trained at Bollettieri's. I was definitely in the tennis world. I was like a good East Coast guy, never like a national player. Strong forehand, probably like a two-handed backhand like Stevie. Like, you know, I knew that tennis was not going to be like what I was going to make a living doing. I was extremely entrepreneurial. I was very hospitable. And I just felt like there was a different thing for me. So I just grew up, I was obsessed with tennis. It was in my blood, going to tournaments all the time. I used to go to the US Open all the time. And I just absolutely was obsessed with all things tennis. I found a way to kind of manifest my tennis and my business life as of late, and find a way to kind of bring the two into focus together. I would say one of my big breaks was my first restaurant, Jim Courier, actually was one of my regulars and became a good friend of mine, a little bit of like a mentor, advisor. And he kind of became like my tooth fairy of the tennis world. After like we really started spending time together, he knew my passion. He felt comfortable to introduce me to people. And that really went on a new path and a new journey. I met Penny Lerner from Taste of Tennis, and now we co-produce that together. And I met Mark Ein of the City Open, and kind of doors just continue to open. Josh Capon, who is one of the three founders of VCR Group. So it's VCR's Gary Vaynerchuk, who's a big media and tech entrepreneur, mogul guy. I'm sure a lot of people have seen his videos on Instagram and YouTube and whatnot. Josh Capon, who's a big celebrity chef. And my name is David Rodolitz. So that was the formation of VCR Group. And then there's another chef partner, Connor Hanlon. And now, like, honestly, we have restaurants at the Open. We really show up well. People love our products. We've got a bunch of restaurants in New York City, as you said, Ito Omakase. We have Fly Fish Club. We have Little Maven. We have a bunch of restaurants in Las Vegas. And now whether it's like you're at one of my spots in the city, you're at the U.S. Open, we're kind of becoming a little bit of like the hub of hospitality, tennis, culture. And it's been just a lot of fun.
Give us kind of the five biggest names that you would say you kind of see on a regular basis.
We've hosted Novak's Foundation, you know, the PTPA dinner a few years in a row. So fortunately got to spend a little time with Novak at Little Maven. I would say the biggest names. I mean, Tiafoe brings it. That guy is just fun.
Is he rolling in with like 10 people?
Yeah, how many people is Francis rolling deep?
There was a crew. It's an entourage. You got to be ready for Francis. But, you know, they bring the energy. They come late. They stay late. And he's just like fun and hospitable with everybody around him. I'm going to put you guys aside because obviously you guys are and huge.
We like, extra security when we roll through and everything. Yeah,
huge. Like everybody did a double take, Sam, when you came in twice over those couple weeks at the U.S. Open. Biggest names. I mean, you know, Novak, Courier. He just retired.
Yeah, Jeannie Bouchard was in there.
Jeannie comes in a lot. Riley, when he's in town, I see him often. Bob Bryan is a friend. Who else do we have coming through a lot? Anne Chabert, became friendly with her. We did her birthday party. She's lovely. And then a lot of guys have stopped by. I wouldn't say that I'm overly close, but had a really good time hanging out with Caboli. I'd like to spend more time with him. That dude was rocking, dancing, hanging, taking pictures with everybody. Like, he is just, he's a vibe in itself. So I'd like to spend, you know, more time with that dude.
Is there an issue, like, you know, and Sam and I text you, you know, it's just the two of us, but where do you draw the line of, you know, like Francis bringing 10 people with him? You're like, you know, do you have to set like a private room aside? You know, how big is too big of an entourage at one of your places?
It's a good question. I think first and foremost, I mean, ranking plays a role in who they are in the tennis ecosystem. That, like, let's call a spade a spade. Like, top 30 and I, like, we're good. You know, and then as you like go down the list, you go top 20, you know, and I've got like kind of like my own metrics of what I will do for a player based on like, you know, how they show up on the court and where they are in the ATP ranking. So, no, listen, at the end of the day, it's about hospitality. Like if I could accommodate it, I want to go above and beyond. Obviously, if they want to be private, that limits my ability sometimes based on like, are there other people in the private room? How big is it versus the size of your crew? But as you guys saw that night, like it's dynamic. It's like my spaces are alive. They're, you know, some of them are quite large. So we do our best to maneuver, get people in there and just take care of everybody.
A lot of us go to, you know, certain tournaments or certain cities that we may not like. I mean, New York's a little different, but if you have like an incredible restaurant or incredible place that you can go to day in and day out and know you're going to feel the love and feel welcome, like as a player being on the road for 30, 35 weeks a year, that makes like a huge difference to like know you can go to a Madrid or to a Shanghai, whatever it may be, and go to a restaurant and feel like you're at home. So I think that's like an amazing quality to have for players, especially in New York.
100%. We're here for that. You know, you guys on the Asian Swing episode the other day, you know, you're talking about like the sushi quality, you know, out there versus American, like kind of saying that there's not really some good sushi restaurants
in
America.
Said that. Don't clump us together.
I mean, John's not on this right now, but I got to say, like, you guys, like, we're showing up in New York. We're doing some amazing stuff, especially on the Japanese front. So I'll challenge that. You were pretty excited when you went in there. I saw that.
I was so excited. Is it different for you dealing with like the athletes of New York compared to like the actors and like the fashion side of New York when they want to come in? Or is it relatively the same, or is those two like worlds just so different?
For me specifically, it's probably a little bit different just because I geek out in the tennis world and I'm so passionate about it. But like, you know, I think anybody in the entertainment, you know, sports, you know, music, Hollywood landscape, like, listen, we definitely try to treat everybody in an amazing way. Like, I think that we're doing really good work at our group. Everybody feels like a VIP. That being said, you know, people that are very recognizable, that have certain influence, that are sitting in certain worlds of culture, you know, from sporting, entertainment, music, Hollywood, I would put them all in a bucket. And then me, when it comes to tennis, like that over indexes, and my tennis crew, you guys, anybody else that is doing, that is making waves in the tennis world, goes like number 30 to 50 in the tennis world will be more important to me than, you know, a medium level actor or like a top baseball player. But to other people, that's not the case. So I'm saying tennis. Yeah, I go big on the tennis guys.
Were there any people during the Open a few weeks ago? Obviously, everyone wants to go to your restaurants. You don't have to give names. Were there any players that reached out? Hey, can I get in? You're just like, I can't fit you in tonight. Did that ever happen during the Open? Did you ever say no?
Did I ever say no? The only, this is like a curveball no, but it's not really a no. I don't know if you're familiar with Katrina Adams. She was like the CEO of the USGA. She's a good friend. She's a founding member of Fly Fish Club and just a force and an amazing woman. Spent a lot of time with her, and she wanted to bring in Francis and some friends one night, and we weren't open that night. So I'm like juggling, like, do I get open? Do I like get all my sushi masters here for the night? You know, so like, wasn't really, no, just, you know, our business operations weren't open the night that certain people wanted to come through. But if we're open and there is a way, we make it happen.
But you could also kind of deflect them to one of your other spots if need be. I mean, you know, kind of move the needle just a little bit. Like, it's not a, it's a no for here, but it's not a no for everywhere.
You see, Stevie, that's why you need to be in the cap table. Like that strategy right there, like
Federer, Alcaraz, Berrettini, Johnson. That's the new group.
Good logistics here.
I you're the one that makes it always kind of keep going. I see what happens.
See, somebody's finally recognizing the talent on this podcast, you know?
Is there anyone that comes in that always insists on paying, that just will not accept a comped meal from you anywhere at any of your restaurants?
I'll tell you, Vashik is a mensch. He's one of my closest friends. He just retired. He's always uncomfortable when I try to do a lot of things for him. He's like one, he's honestly like one of my boys at this point. So I would say like he's very respectful and thoughtful around that. Most other people like what we seem to do for the players. So no, I think it's a win-win across the board. Riley also, Opelka, he's dined at a bunch of my spots and is always so loving and respectful about it, and always like, you know, doesn't want us to do too much. And but honestly, most of the tennis community doesn't take advantage, so they've been great.
On anyone the opposite, we're like, they
expect
other than you.
I didn't expect it.
You?
I didn't expect it. I didn't expect it.
You didn't expect it, but you got up like you did.
There was, I got up. You were there. I knew you were paying. I left 100. All right. Listen, anyone other than me that expects it.
Yeah, I feel like I'm starting to hit stride in the tennis landscape, and I gotta be quiet on this one. I don't want to like mess anything up on my trajectory. I feel like I'm like a rising star right now here, so I'm not gonna rock the boat, Stevie.
All right, David, thank you. That was awesome. We appreciate it. It was fun insight. I think everyone's gonna enjoy that.
David, thank you.
Great being with you guys. Have a good day.
All right, thank you, David, for the time and an insightful interview. Sam and I had a lot of fun chatting. You know, hopefully for us, we can just pencil our names into a couple more free dinners out of David, even though Sam didn't quite cut the list the first time around in New York. And with that, everyone, another great episode of Nothing Major in the books. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You know where we are. Just hit like, hit subscribe, give us a rating and review, and make sure to follow us on all our social channels at Nothing Major Show. We will see you guys on Monday.